You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
April the 27th, 2020. I'm going to warn you now. Do not get too close to your radio. Do not get too close to your radio or your feed online. I'm this close to just exploding. I mean, blowing all over the place because of what Pencil Neck, as President Trump calls him, Adam Schiff, is saying. The House Intel Committee Chairman, Adam Schiff, basically claiming that 50,000 Americans have died because the Senate failed to impeach Donald Trump and remove him from office. He stated the other night, there are 50,000 Americans now who were dead, in significant part because of Trump's incompetence. I gave you one warning. I don't know at what point this could just flat blow to pieces, but this kind of insinuation to say 50,000 Americans are dead in the process of this virus and say it's because Donald Trump. I want to take Adam Schiff and I'm going to dump him right in the middle of Wuhan, China. Let him see how he gets out of there. Let him see where Trump's affecting Wuhan, China and the virus. Let him deal with that for a while. God, the gall and the lack of shame, the absolute politicizing of a deadly disease affecting our country is just absolutely enraging. The White House is not going to have its afternoon news conference today, as they've been doing. The president said the other day, I don't know what the purpose is. I go out there and say what I need to say, and everybody attacks me. The media won't do it right. For instance, the other day, when he made mention about, you know, maybe we could get disinfectants into the body, maybe that would help take care of it. And the mainstream media, the leftists, went running out saying, he's talking about injecting yourself with bleach or drinking bleach. He said nothing to that extent. I mean, not one part of it. And if you research some of the drugs now being used and that you're given in various vaccines, they include ingredients which are listed as disinfectants. Doesn't mean they're giving you Lysol straight to your bloodline or that you're drinking it. He's doing his best in the midst of something no one really understands. No one. Not even the left. They're good at taking pot shots and making noise, but they don't know either. In the meantime, we're trying to get back to work. The infections are going to continue. Make no mistake about it. But keep in mind, the idea is to flatten the curve. Now, by flattening the curve, that does not mean no more infections, no more disease, no more death. That's not it. The idea of flattening the curve is that we will not have a sudden surge of cases rushing into hospitals, overloading them in particular areas. That's the issue of flattening the curve. In the meantime, worldwide infections, just under 3 million. Deaths, 210,000. U.S. infections, just under 1,970,000. Deaths, 55,000. And if there's any unneeded, undue suffering, you can blame Nancy Pelosi and her political delay tactics. We're going to get into that. And I will tell you, you can expect some shortages coming. Beef, pork, chicken, eggs. I'll lay out details for you. And Pelosi has now endorsed Biden officially with a statement praising his integrity. His integrity? Biden continues getting a free pass on the allegations of sexual charges leveled against him by a former staff worker. Three network programs had him on the air this last weekend, and not one of them asked a question about the allegations. We're going to examine in detail over the next 2 hours how the media has not only ignored, but covered this up, especially CNN, because it was on a CNN Larry King show that the allegation was first made years ago, and they could never produce a tape. CNN, well, I don't know where the tape was. What's happening with the tape? Well, we've got the tape. You're going to hear the call into the Larry King show and the reaction at that point. Oh, and one other thing. A heartburn medication is now being tested as a coronavirus treatment in New York City hospitals. A heartburn medication? Now, you know, Trump went on the stage today and said heartburn medication might be a way to help avoid or treat coronavirus. You know how the media would tear him apart? But this is underway right now at the North Shore University Hospital, Long Island. I don't see them chastising the hospital. No, because it's not Donald Trump. All right, if you can take the chance of a risk of an explosion at any moment on this radio program, I'm going to ask you to stand by for the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors, even let your enemies, know we're on the air. Believe me, we're ready. Lock and load, ready, on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm very bullish on this country being able to adapt in this war, and it is a war, to this new virus we're fighting in a way which will get America back to work, will get our kids back to school, and we're going to move to a different place than we were, but it's going to be a better and stronger place once we get through it.
Peter Navarro, the White House Trade Policy Director, pointing out that we are going to be better. We just have to get through this crisis, and it is a crisis. Secretary Mnuchin over the weekend stating that he looks for the economy to come roaring back, even amid the warnings that we might see the coronavirus continue for a while. And, of course, we've had the unemployment figures continue to jump. 26 million Americans now on unemployment, and the numbers are going to continue to go up until this is resolved. Now, of course, the question has been, especially for fiscally conservative Republicans, whoa, look at the deficit. Look at what we're doing. I'm for you. I'm with you on that. But when you're in a war, you have to forget the deficit. You have to deal with the issue at hand. This is not pork and barrel spending at this point, because the Republicans are going to damn good line of holding to make sure the Democrats don't get to put all their greenhouse projects in, money for the Kennedy Center, things of this nature. We're doing a pretty good job on that. Sometimes it's a little compromise. That's what we're built on, is a compromise to an extent. But we've got to get money into the hands of the American public, the businesses that are in need, and not just give it as a gift, but make sure there's some accountability, especially when we talk about the large businesses. Small businesses need the every dollar they can get right now to either reopen, stay open, and keep folks employed. If you were among those who've had your business closed down and you have not had a job now for going on 2 months, I feel for you. I truly do. The Democrats don't. They don't, because they would like to see this chaos continue for you to continue to suffer. They want you to suffer as long as you can, as long as they can make you, because then you will be so incensed come November, they expect you to go in and vote for anybody but Trump. Now, Mnuchin is saying this is a war. We will win the war. If we need to spend more money, we will, and we'll only do it with bipartisan support. See, there are Democrats in the House and Senate. They also recognize that while Nancy Pelosi might be beating the drum for more Green Deal projects only, or we don't give a dime, they're realizing, hey, I got to go back and talk to my constituents. I got to go back, and they're rallying, and they're pushing in our streets, protesting. The folks in the streets protesting are not just Republicans. I think a lot of folks believe that. I think most of them believe that everybody in the street protesting to open our country again right now is got to be a Republican. And they're not very intelligent people. And they don't care about the health and welfare of the nation. The health and welfare of the nation also depends upon our economic security, upon your economic security. And we've already seen delay tactic after delay tactic by the Democrats pushing all these proposals back, delaying them and so forth. And if you're looking for someone to blame for your continuing suffering right now, Congressman McCarthy, House Minority Leader, says, look to Nancy Pelosi.
While small businesses shut down and made the sacrifice to keep America healthy, Nancy Pelosi sacrificed the small businesses. She held it open where there were 700,000 small businesses with applications that couldn't have any money. But the only part that you weren't right, it was more than 4.4 million. Nancy Pelosi owes America an apology. She has held up every single bill when it came to coronavirus that we put forth. The first time she held it up so the DCCC, the Democratic arm, could attack Republicans. The second time she held it up for the entire week to get more funding for the Endowment of the Arts and the Kennedy Center and try to put the Green New Deal in. Then she came back this time. We asked 2 weeks in advance. We saved 30 million jobs, but 4.4 million last week. That was Nancy Pelosi's unemployment that she added to America.
And he also said she's been more interested in investigations, impeachment, and ice cream. A good reference to that appearance of Nancy Pelosi on late night TV about a week or so ago, in which she stood in front of her freezer filled with ice cream that cost a minimum $13 a pint. $13 a pint. Different varieties. And she said, oh, when I'm quarantined, this is the way I find relief. Go to my freezer and open, see the ice cream, and choose an ice cream plate. While you're suffering, my friend, while you suffer, Nancy's eating ice cream. You know the phrase, let them eat cake. Well, let Nancy eat ice cream, and you eat nothing. And, of course, the Democrats continue to push from the Democrat governors, give us bailout money for our state governments. No, 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 no. Senate Majority Leader McConnell and McCarthy, you just heard, said, no, you states, you go ahead and declare bankruptcy. We're not going to give you a handout. This would be exactly what New York State, the state of Illinois, and California in particular would love, because of the pension plans they have that are busting them, that they set up, and their tax plans, which are failing as they chase residents out. They want the U.S. government, they want everyone, you, to help support New York State. No, no bailout for the states. And no bailout for big business. We had numerous states already trying to reopen in steps and starts. The Alaska governor decided to allow salons and restaurants to reopen in most of his state Friday. So they've been doing that since Friday. Oklahoma allowed some personal care businesses to reopen for appointments on Friday. California, some beaches had been closed or reopened with limitations. Georgia's recovery, a reopening I should say, has been the most aggressive so far. The governor ordering the reopening of hair and nail salons, gyms, bowling alleys, tattoo studios, massage therapists, theaters, and restaurants opening today. Now, of course, there are numerous health experts, mayors, and others, and even President Trump questioning if Georgia's moving too fast. But at this point, they're going forward, and they're still putting certain social distancing processes in place for each of those businesses. The model forecast for Georgia, you don't reopen and you don't relax social distancing until June 22nd. June 22nd. Are they going too fast? I don't know. We'll wait and see. I want to remind you, for anyone who complains about these businesses opening up early, no one is telling you I have to go to the business. Don't go. Stay inside. Continue to do the thing you feel good about. No one is ordering you to go visit any of these businesses. Montana, just 448 confirmed cases. They're telling retail businesses you can start work today. Restaurants and bars, breweries can begin reestablishing services May 4th. Oklahoma doing similar thing, opening up May 1. Texas, the stay-at-home order ends at the end of this month. And, of course, we have New York, ground to a halt to stop this epidemic. They're going to start, according to the governor, reopening manufacturing and construction May 15th. So they're going to continue to stay under that umbrella that we just can't do anything. It's costing the state, obviously. It's costing the cities. It's costing America. Andrew Cuomo says, we got to do it this way. And in the meantime, the New York City Mayor, Bill de Blasio, says, we've got, if you're not going to help the state with a bailout, you got to bail out New York City. Bail out New York City? He appeared on Fox Business with Marie Bartiromo, and she was asking him exactly, well, how much money do you want us to just give you?
So how much money do you want,
Maria,
Mr. Mayor? How much money do you need from the federal government?
All the money that's been lost and will be lost, lost revenue, and this is true for New York and cities and states around the country. We need $7.4 billion. That's how much we've lost. That's how much we need to get back. Just like the federal government bailed out the airline industry, the tune of $58 billion, bail out the largest city in the country so we can restart and be able to be strong leaders in an economic revitalization in this country.
Right, so we can dump it in our cesspool where we already are overtaxing our citizens, chasing them out of the state, not providing services for the taxes they pay, and we got big pension plans. So bail us out. Give us money. Give us, give me. I'm surprised when she asked, how much do you want? How much do you really want? He actually put a limit on it, $7.5 billion, or $7.4 billion. I'm surprised he actually gave a finite number. His answer really is everything we can get. Everything we can get. Peter Navarro, the White House trade director, talks about how he has seen de Blasio when it comes to give and take and demands and request.
Let me tell you two stories about Bill de Blasio. The first is like Andrew Cuomo, I think they forget that there's 49 other states in the union here that also need some help. But number two, more importantly, I've worked a lot with Bill over the last 6 weeks trying to get things to New York. And on Easter Sunday, we were talking about getting more gowns to New York. And we conceived a plan to put the cutters and sewers of New York back to work. And within 7 days, we had 1 million square yards of fabric moved up from North Carolina from a company called Owens & Minor, thank you, with UPS trucks, thank you to them. And now in Sunset Park in Brooklyn, they're making gowns for the doctors and nurses in New York. So that's the kind of thing I focus on. I can't reach into my magic bag and throw a bunch of money, though, at New York right now.
The words of Peter Navarro, White House Trade Council Director. And even if he could reach into a magic bag and throw money at New York, he shouldn't, and he wouldn't. But again, it is right back to what we discussed repeatedly. And I know the Democrats have got to hate this every time it comes up. But it's fact, and it's actual, it's reality. As Ron Emanuel, former White House advisor to Obama, then Chicago mayor, said, never let a crisis go to waste. In other words, every time you see a crisis, jump in. Democrats are looking for every dollar they can milk out of the American public to cover all their sins, all their past problems, aside from the coronavirus, and to build their progressive new America. That is not including you. You understand that. You're not going to be part of the new America. You'll be subject to it, but you won't be part of it. And, of course, these states, especially the Democrat states, rushing forward for federal bailouts, as we just heard from de Blasio, how much money we need. I mean, New York City. And then we got the state of New York. Congressman Thomas Massie, Republican of Kentucky, said these federal bailouts for states under the supposed give us coronavirus relief are, quote, covering up for the killing of our economy that's been done by the governors. The killing of our country and our economy that's been done by these same governors. He says, by sending money into these states and in the hands of everybody, we're basically covering up the killing of the economy done by governors. Again, Congressman Massey, Republican of Kentucky, added, the president and I would like to see these governors open their economies back up. And there's some discussion about who has the power. But if we keep paying them for the shutdown, the governors are going to keep it shut down. It's almost like we're doing a blood transfusion for the economy, but it hasn't stopped the bleeding. He added, what the government needs to do is allow people to go back to work. He said, now I'm against letting Nancy Pelosi in the House control what she wants to do to stop things without her members actually being accountable. He said, all we're doing right now is enabling. I agree. Every time we have to deal with some of these governors and so forth, we're enabling them if we just give them money. And what are we going to do about China? Are we going to get anything out of China for causing this mess? We'll deal with that in the next segment. And also the CDC having some new outlines for reopening child care and the food industry while the virus continues. And before we're done, we'll talk about the shortages that are coming. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no better man. This ain't no place for no hero to call home.
This ain't no place for no. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
China is issuing a warning to Australia. And we're interested in it because I'd wait for the warning to come to us next. China is upset because Australia is demanding that China explain how it bungled the handling of the pandemic in the beginning. And China says, you continue to press for this. You continue to put us under the vice and the microscope of an investigation. We could spark a boycott. Chinese consumers may no longer travel and study in Australia, or buy major exports, including beef and wine. In other words, the Chinese would say, no more beef nor wine from me, from Australia, because they're questioning what my government did. Yeah, you think the citizens would vote for that? Probably not. But here's the other part of this. We haven't already, in this country, been questioning China and how it's been handling things, and even the state of Missouri being the first state to actually file suit against China, seeking some monies, remunerations for how they started all of this and then blew it on warning the world and also advising the WHO to carry the water for them. We've got to continue to hold them accountable one way or the other. Peter Navarro, White House Trade Policy Director.
China spawned that virus. They hid it for 6 weeks. They could have contained it in Wuhan. They didn't. They seeded the world with this, with hundreds of thousands of Chinese getting on aircraft to Milan, to New York, and other places. During that six-week period, what they did was they vacuumed up the world for personal protective equipment, over 2 billion masks, depriving public health care workers around the world from the defenses they need. And today, China's profiteering, basically, from this situation.
Absolutely. And, of course, we want some answers. I'm sure the Chinese government will issue a warning to us, as it did Australia, saying, well, we may start no longer traveling and studying in U.S. Fine by me. We may no longer buy any of your major exports. Oh, okay. Fine by me. To a limit. We all know that. We have to be trade partners. We have to be global. But we also have to find some balance. We've been trying to deal with that since Trump took office, to rectify unfair trade balance. But the other point is, we do expect China to do some kind of payment for us. I would not hold my breath for it. And keep in mind, China holds a lot of the U.S. debt that we have. It's to China. So, I mean, it would be a wash if it happens at all. So the CDC is outlining some various guidelines for child care centers and also for schools as to what they think should be happening. If you have children that are home now and you want to see them get back to school and or you need to have child care so you can go back to work, I'll have details of that coming up in the next part because we're all going to talk about that. We'll also be talking about the shortages you can expect when it comes to feeding your family, things you like to put on the table. You already know about the shortage of toilet paper, even paper towels. Well, you're going to have to get ready for more shortages if something isn't done. And if, unfortunately, if it were done right now, you might still see some of these shortages that I'm going to explain coming up. I'm not going to say you're going to starve, but you need to be aware of it. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure you have some alarms to let you know if someone breaks into your home. But what happens if your home is invaded by creatures? Six legs, eight legs, maybe more. Rottler Pest Solutions can help keep those pests out of your house. And if they're already inside, get them out. In fact, you can get a free, no-obligation inspection and estimate to protect your home. You can get that at any time. Go online to Rottler.com. Rottler.com. Schedule your free inspection today. Rottler is the largest family-owned pest control business in Missouri. 10 locations, more than 200 team members. Plus, Rottler has a money-back guarantee. If you're not happy for any reason, they will make it right or your money back. You know, I first called Rottler more than 40 years ago, so I know they will take good care of you. I continue to trust Rottler. Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Farmers have all sorts of, they've got thousands of pigs, cows, chickens that have to be processed. These are growing animals. It's not a static inventory. And when the processing plants are being shut down, there's no place for the farmers to send these animals. So they can't keep feeding them because there are younger animals coming along in their supply chains. And so starting next week, and actually some of it's been going on for a couple of weeks in some places in the country, they're having to euthanize animals, they're burying animals. And this is going to show up as shortages sooner or later, probably starting next month and then going into June, shortages in the supply with farmers going bankrupt if they don't get some sort of stimulus that is far in excess of whatever people are talking about now.
That's Richard Berman, Center for Consumer Freedom. And without these processing plants open, the farmers had to decide, well, I'm going to do with the livestock. Do I feed them and get nothing in return? I can't do that. Processing plants, that story, amplified over the weekend by an editorial, a full-page ad, I should say, and the New York Times, Washington Post, Tyson Foods chairman said basically, the food supply chain is breaking. The food supply chain is breaking. Now, Tyson had previously suspended operations at its largest pork plant in Waterloo, Iowa, also temporarily shuttering plants in Indiana, Washington, and still another one in Iowa. As of last week, Tyson Food employees, four of them had been reported to have died of coronavirus. As they reopen, as they try to maintain some business, They are restructuring their facilities. They're adding social distancing requirements, workstation dividers, deep cleanings, temperature screenings for those coming through, and others, every effort they can to protect their workers and, of course, protect the food supply, as they are touching and dealing with raw meat, packaging it off for you, or for restaurants, which are not open at this point, which is putting another push and crisis upon ranchers and farmers. Stop and think about it for a second. You buy how many carrots, heads of lettuce, apples, whatever fruit, vegetable you bring into your house on a weekly basis. Imagine the restaurants across the nation, how much they buy, how much is supplied, obviously, by farmers, all of it. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau Vice President said it's hard for many of these farmers because so many consumers, anything they are buying, they're buying it only from the grocery store. They're not going out to the restaurants. Restaurants aren't buying. Large food service operations aren't buying. And now American farmers are destroying, plowing under crops, plowing them under. There's no market for it. Not going to try to take it to market. No sense trying to spend any more money on developing it. They're dumping milk in cases. There's no demand for milk to the extent they need to take care of it. They're throwing out eggs. And in other cases, the chickens are being euthanized because there's no demand for eggs. And they're egg-laying chickens, and not all are subject to that as normal. But they're also killing off those you would be serving for dinner. There's no market for it. Not you, not enough, not the restaurants, and beef and pork. You can expect these shortages to come. Again, the words of Richard Berman, Center for Consumer Freedom.
I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but I would imagine that there are going to be runs on meat cases in various supermarkets. And keep in mind, the supermarkets don't just manufacture meat. It still comes from these farmers and these right. processing plants. And I imagine we're going to see some shortages.
We are going to see some shortages and runs on what's available. If you recall when the coronavirus story first started, you could walk down any aisle of any store, I should say, and there was toilet paper stacked to the ceiling. Just easy to pick up, no big deal. Oh, I don't need some. You know, I got a couple rolls or so at home. I don't need to pick up any day. I'll come back tomorrow and get some. You come back the next day, there's nothing. It's gone. And then you wait and find out, well, when are they delivering it? What time do you guys stock? And if they do have it, you get one roll or one package. Now, take that same scenario and apply it to beef, pork, chicken, eggs, various vegetables. And the run on the products will exist if folks have a place to freeze it and keep it for a while. And no doubt there will be cases while toilet paper won't go bad after a period of time. Some will be over-hoarding, and they'll end up having to throw it out. So some folks didn't get it because some felt, I have to have it, and I don't have a place to stay it, use it, but I've got to have it now. And then, of course, the prices will go up on all of it. And we're trying to get America back to work, and folks have already lost paychecks, so now they're going to pay more for what is available. This is the cycle we're in. And this is why it's so important we do something to start reopening the country. Georgia, against the president's desires, opened up some businesses that President Trump said, I don't think they meet the standards we have in place, but it's going to be the decision of each governor. And, of course, the lib media jumped all over. They were so glad to point out the dispute and fight between a Republican governor and the president. There's no fight. It's just a declaration by the president. I support him. He's the governor, but I just think it's too early. We'll see. But again, at what point would you say we can open up? I mean, I've told you, as I mentioned in the beginning of the monologue today, we're trying to flatten the curve. We will never, probably ever, ever, ever again say we have no coronavirus or flu that could cause a lot of sickness or death. You're trying to minimize the impact of a rush, a sudden flood of patients overwhelming hospital facilities. And in the meantime, you have to decide, well, we've got to get people back to work. How much longer can we do this? And a lot of parents, even if their business were to open up and call them back, they have to decide, what am I going to do about the kids? They're not in school right now. I don't have anybody to take care of them. Oh, well, maybe I'll use some kind of daycare facility. They're closed. The CDC has come out with a proposal to help child care programs reopen. And as they state, it is crucial to helping parents and grandparents and guardians return to work. And it says the guidelines note that in communities that are deemed significant mitigation areas by state and local authorities, child care programs should be closed. In other areas, programs can, quote, choose to remain open to serve children of essential workers, such as health care workers. The reopening of child care centers involves three phases. Phase one, restrict care to just children of those essential workers. Phase two, expand to all children with enhanced social distancing measures. Phase three would open the programs for all children, again with social distancing measures, while promoting healthy hygiene habits, intensify cleaning, disinfection, ventilation. And as for schools, the CDC is recommending that schools that are currently closed remain closed. Summer camps. CDC draft recommends camps be restricted to children of essential workers in phase one. Again, in phase two, to begin to open it up. And by phase three, camps restricted attendance to those from limited transmission areas. And then when it comes to churches, the CDC new guidelines, they say, again, is not intended to infringe on First Amendment rights, and stating, obviously, the federal government may not prescribe standards for interactions of faith communities and houses of worship, and no faith community should be asked to adopt any mitigation strategies more stringent than those already in place for similar entities and activities. But again, they're encouraging church gatherings to maybe limit the number of those attending each service, or make sure you have enough space for them to have their distancing, to limit the sharing of prayer books and hymnals. You walk into your church, you pick up a hymn book that someone else was there the preceding week and they touched it. Coronavirus might still be there, may not. Wear gloves to church, mask to church. I walked into a small grocery store the other day to get some things. I'd been at the week before, actually probably about 3 days before. And I have a mask that Quentin brought in to give me. My wonderful director taking good care of me. Bring me water every day, so that's good. Keep asking for Jack. He keeps bringing the water. But he brought me a mask, and so I wore it the other day going into that store. And I felt kind of stupid, I mean, you know, but I wore it. Next time I went in, I didn't wear it. And everybody in there seemed to have a mask other than me. And I thought, well, now don't I look like the odd one out that I'm in here infecting anybody? So next time we'll make sure I wear it in. No one is telling you you have to visit any of these businesses that are opening up. And that's going to be your decision. But how much longer can we keep the nation on lockdown? And then, of course, you get those that are looking for more out of this. Maybe some way to overthrow Trump. I mean, overthrow it. I'll give you an example. Although he claims, oh, no, that was sarcasm. Yeah, right. That story still to come.
Street, pretty woman. the kind I like to meet, pretty woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So, as I'd mentioned in the opening monologue, the president is not going to have his daily briefing on the coronavirus. Not going to do it. Because, as he said the other day, I don't know what the purpose is. He said, I come out and do it. I answer the question. I make myself available. And the mainstream media either misinterprets me, mocks me, or tells lies and more fake news. For instance, dealing with his remarks about maybe disinfectants, that the scientists should explore injecting disinfectants as a potential virus cure. And the left-stream media immediately went out and said he's talking about drinking bleach. He's talking about injecting Lysol directly into your bloodstream. To the extent Lysol had to come out and say, no, we don't recommend that. And the president never said that at all. All he said was, we're looking at all kinds of things, and, you know, I understand that disinfectants pretty good at killing it. Maybe that's what we need to consider. He just considering. And later when he got questioned and hammered on it, he said, oh, I'm being sarcastic, response to a question. I wish he hadn't done that. I wish he had said, no, I'm simply discussing some options that scientists are looking at. And today, as I said in the beginning, there's consideration by scientists. In fact, a study underway in New York in a Jewish hospital, the New York North Shore University Hospital, Long Island Jewish Medical Center, and another one participating to use heartburn medication as a treatment. When the president said that today, they'd again make fun of him. So they're looking for any way they can to challenge him. And over the weekend, there was a statement by a liberal journalist, Hendrik Herzberg, with The New Yorker. And he said in a tweet, time for a military coup? Asking for an overthrow of the government, a military overthrow? Now, when he got questioned about it, he said, no, I'm just being sarcastic like someone else was the other day being sarcastic. The media attacked Trump for that remark about being sarcastic. They had not done anything about Herzberg when he suggests maybe time for a military coup. Oh, no, I was being sarcastic. It should not cut both ways, but it does. It does. That is always, has always been for me, the biggest issue between liberals and conservatives in the sense of, and conservatives are guilty as well, don't get me wrong, but lately more often it falls to the liberal side because they will attack, say nasty things, attack Trump's children, his youngest even, and yet anything being said about any Democrat children is suddenly off limits, and I would agree. I'm not in favor of doing that either. But the left has no problem taking the other side. And so they will not challenge this leftist writer about, were you really being sarcastic? Are you trying to foment an overthrow of the government? I'll give you a perfect example, too. You know who's really pleased and benefiting, at least benefiting, because of the coronavirus and that's sweeping through our nation? Joe Biden. Joe Biden. Because it's taken pressure off of him, referenced some questions about the allegations of sexual abuse that happened with a former staffer. He was on three major networks over the weekend. Not one of them asked a question. And we're going to spend the next hour dealing a lot with this Joe Biden cover-up and how the Democrats are just looking past of hashtag Me Too because it involves one of their own. And every day I start my day, I get a brief. I signed up for it, so it's my fault. A brief from the New York Times of stories we're covering today, the things you need to know about. And they have in there coronavirus testing and coronavirus reference Michigan and coronavirus this and that and so forth, even a little thing about cooking. Not one thing in there that I should know what's coming that's important to know for today. Not one thing in there mentioning Biden and the sex allegation. It's not fit to print in the New York Times. They won't even promote it. If you're looking for every story that should be of importance to you and value, that has to be one of them. Even if not for me and conservatives, for progressives, Bernie Sanders people, they are incensed that this thing has been covered up and pushed aside while their candidate had to fall upon his own spear to get out of the way of Biden. And they're suggesting that maybe he should come back. In dealing with the media and how it's been attacking Trump, especially at these news conferences, one of my listeners, Jerry, had written in the other day an email on Larry Connors USA Facebook. I don't know if he had listened live or off the podcast, but he said the media is ridiculing Trump for suggesting getting out in the sun could kill this virus. He said the truth is horticulturalists, those aquarists, have been using UV rays in their water filtering systems of aquariums and hydroponic growing for years and decades. So yes, the sun could be valuable. And the president was simply saying, repeating what the scientists have said, in direct sunlight, the virus does not last long at all. But they came out with the headline, oh, now the president's, instead of injecting and disinfecting, maybe stay out in the sun longer and drink some bleach while you're at it. It's not a matter of a lack of truth. It's a matter of not even fake news. It's a matter of fabricating what you want. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll begin with news and commentary. And I call it commentary because I don't give you just flat news. I'll give you an opinion in the process, but I want you to know it's an opinion. It's all coming up in our next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.